It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me invite you to get your Bible and follow along with me as we look at chapter 3 of the book of Romans. Now, we're not going to go through the entire chapter. I'd like to start reading with verse 29. And let me remind you that Paul, in the book of Romans, is writing to the church at Rome. He's writing to the Christian church. That's those people who have named the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When verse 29, the Bible says, "Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles?" Well, we know, yes, of the Gentiles also. And verse 30 says, "Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith." Well, God's glorious gospel is not limited to one nation. God created all men, and Jesus died for all men. And we see that the gospel message is offered to all men and women. And this is taught in Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. And it says in verse 12 of Romans 10, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." We understand by reading the Word of God that God's gospel is not just for the Jews. It is for whosoever will, according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Now, we've looked at verses 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 3, where it talks about the circumcision. And this, of course, is speaking of the Jew. And then we see the uncircumcision mentioned. Well, of course, this is speaking of the Gentiles. And in the earlier chapters of Romans, Paul skillfully proved that both Jew and Gentile were lost in sin under God's condemnation. In fact, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And Paul now shares the good news that justification is offered to all men in Romans chapter 3, verses 29 and 30, and so forth. Both Jews and Gentiles can be saved. Both groups. Now, once again, salvation is received by one way and one way only, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive salvation by trusting Jesus Christ by faith in him, that he's able to save us. He died on the cross of Calvary, he was buried, and he rose on that third day. And by the promise of God, he said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, as we look at chapter 3, and we've read verses 29 and 30, the real question is not whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. The real question then, right here, as we've just read, is whether or not you are justified, whether or not you are a believer in the crucified and risen one. And that's Jesus Christ, and that is the question. Are you justified? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? The Lord's asking you that right now through the verses that we've just read. And just as I've been speaking, God would speak to the heart of that individual who's never trusted him as Lord and Savior, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what I've been reading. And that's what I've been looking at and telling you as we've been studying today. Well, we continue now in verse 31 of Romans chapter 3, where it says, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" Now, remember, back in these two verses that we just read, in verses 29 and 30, is he the God of Jews only? In verse 29, it says that. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. And verse 30 says, "Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith." Well, Paul continues by saying, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Verse 31, chapter 3 of Romans. Well, notice the term make void in that verse we just read. This actually means to make it ineffective or to nullify. Paul says, God forbid. May it not be. May it never be. Perish the thought, Paul's saying. And he says, yea, we establish the law. On the contrary, he says, we establish the law. Well, that may seem to be a contradiction, but we keep studying. The law is established when it serves the purpose for which it was given, you see. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, without the law, we would not realize that we are in need of a Savior. So Paul says, God forbid that we even try to do away with the law. Well, there are certain things which the law can do, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, and we just read that. Chapter 7, verses 7 through 14, that is a verse, those verses you need to read. You need to have your Bible open and go to Romans chapter 7, 7 through 14, and read that later on. Well, there are certain things which the law cannot do, according to the book of Romans and Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Biblical Christianity is neither legalistic nor lawless. Legalism does not establish the law, but rather it nullifies it. Salvation is by grace, and this is the true gospel. It establishes the law. Paul is saying, do we then make void the law? Do we put the law out of a job? Do we render the law inactive, out of work? Does the law have nothing to do? Have we reduced the law to inactivity? No, Paul says, God forbid. The law and the gospel have different jobs. They each have their own jobs to do. Well, the problem comes when you give the law the gospel's job, salvation, or when you give the gospel the law's job, condemnation. In other words, the law says you're guilty, but the gospel says Jesus came to save the guilty. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17 teaches that the law cannot put the gospel out of a job. The law has its own job. The law's job is to work wrath, according to Romans chapter 4 and verse 15. Never mix the two, or you're going to ruin the both. That's the gospel and the law, the Ten Commandments. The gospel never waters down God's righteous standards of holiness. The law, that's God's standards of holiness. On the other hand, legalism does not establish the law, but instead, it disgraces it. Legalism brings the law down to something that man can keep, supposedly. The law is established when its penalties are enforced. The Lord Jesus Christ established the law by bearing its penalty. May the law of God drive us to the Lamb of God. May we understand that no one is justified by the law, but we are justified by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, as we look at Romans chapter 4, the key words in Romans chapter 4 are believe and faith. These key words are found in Romans, the book of Romans, in several different places in the book of Romans. But justification is by faith and not by works. Well, how do we know this? Well, the Old Testament proves it as shown by Abraham and David. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, he had faith. Abraham's justification was by faith. Well, how was Abraham justified? Romans chapter 4 and verse 1 talks about this. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Well, no one would be able to boast that they have saved themselves or that they have done anything in order to earn God's favor. This all ties in with the preceding chapter, chapter 3, we just finished, where the law cannot save, and there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. The only thing a person can do to be in favor with God is to receive Jesus as Savior, and that's God's Son. The scriptures actually reveal Abraham was justified by faith in God. And verse 3 of Romans chapter 4 says, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Notice this, that one who trusts in works seeks God's payment for a debt, not because of his grace. In other words, it's something that God owes us. Well, God owes us nothing. It's totally by his grace through faith that we have salvation. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." You see, we can't work our way to heaven. It has to be all of God. When one trusts in God to justify and not trusting in works, such faith is counted for righteousness. And this is what Abraham did. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 goes on to say, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." The testimony of David goes on in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. David himself spoke of God imputing or crediting righteousness apart from works. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6 talks about this, and it says there, it says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." Now, this quote, Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, is from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. This was David's psalm of thanksgiving after his repentance over his notorious sin of adultery and homicide. He was a murderer. And when we look at Paul, Paul thus notes that justification by faith was true both before and after Moses, before in Abraham and Israel's great patriarch, and after in David, Israel's greatest king. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Well, God is good to every one of us. God has given every one of us an opportunity to trust him as Lord and Savior. We cannot work our way to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the sin debt for each one of us. It's sad that everybody will not go to heaven. Only those people who have trusted Jesus Christ by faith will be able to go to heaven. "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I know I can't save myself. I believe you died on the cross for me. Lord, I'm asking you to save me. Come into my heart." The prayer won't save you if you pray a prayer like that. It's God who saves you, but he wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear that you're sorry for sin. "Lord, forgive me of my sin." Ask him to come into your heart today if you've never done that. Ask him to save you today. And if you are saved, you're on your way to heaven, and you need to be thankful for that. And praise God daily and tell others about his saving grace.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.